Hello, I'm Jim Cornell, and this is the WalkingPost.com podcast. WalkingPost.com is the news website dedicated to walking, with all the latest on festivals, books, trails, gear, and more. This podcast is airing on Friday, May the 9th. Obviously, not only the 9th, you can listen to it in October if you want to. The walk last weekend that I did was in Killin, a beautiful small town in the middle of Scotland, with a river running right through the town that creates kind of a rapids or a waterfalls on the rocks that you can walk out onto. It's funny because in spite of the beauty, there are negative comments about it that just make you shake your head. They're mostly about the fact that the bridge by the falls is busy and doesn't have a walking path. It's maybe 1 minute to get across it. And there are a few people saying that they don't get what people like about it. I guess reviews are the scourge of the internet sometimes. I remember back many years, one of my books is a field guide to the marine species on the shores of eastern Canada. For some reason, it was nominated for Children's Book of the Year. And someone left a very nasty review on Amazon saying it was far too complex for children, and why would someone write a book for children that was too advanced, and so on and so on. Well, maybe because it wasn't written for children. You can't win. Last week on the podcast, we had a couple of great conversations. One was about the Strawberry Line in Somerset, and the other was a look at a new book about the Camino de Santiago, and that was called Holy Dirt, and it's by Molly Lord, who had some great stories to share. This week, we're zooming in on a couple of festivals separated by less than 30 miles. One is the Wrexham Walking Festival, and the other is the Wirral Walking Festival. Of course, before we get to those, we do first give you a quick recap of some of this week's articles on WalkingPost.com. And of course, if you do have news, press releases, guest ideas, or comments, please do get in touch via WalkingPost.com, or you can just email me at jim@WalkingPost.com. Now it's time for that brief look at some of the headlines from the news articles we had on WalkingPost.com this past week. A little lighter on the news front this week, but here goes. Cochrane in Alberta, Canada, has moved forward with the expansion of the James Walker Trail. RAB has opened its first consumer-facing service centre, and if you want to go, it's in Cheshire. Stockport is gearing up for Walking Month. The Yiwugo app has seen downloads surge as hiking poles sales skyrocket, which is not easy to say. Walking improvements are coming to Chipping Norton and Woodstock, and the Active Travel Project in Stirling in Scotland has officially opened, and opinions are being sought on a path to Dunblane. I drove by there just last week. Anyway, you can read all of those articles and more at WalkingPost.com. Okay, let's get down to this week's interviews, and both of them are walking festivals, and both in close proximity to each other, and both begin with W. So, which one first? To settle it, I tossed a coin, and it went under the sofa, so I'm no wiser, so let's just go with Wrexham first. And I've not even mentioned the football team, well, until now. They did get promoted to the Championship this year, so the place is going to be even busier now. So let's find out about the festival from its chairman, Bill Stevens.
I think a lot of people know about Wrexham because of the football team now, but it's and they're doing really well. But is it a good place for walking?
Oh, excellent place walking. Yeah, I mean, within about 15 minutes, you can be up in the wilderness, up in the hills, no problem. We've got the AONB, which is stretches into the top half of Wrexham, which is the Dee Valley, including hills area of outstanding natural beauty, which is they're plugging that soon, could well be a national park soon. Part of Wrexham is in the AONB, which is the Monera area above Wrexham, because Wrexham is encircled by about 15 villages, so it's quite big. But once you get out past that, it's quite wild, to be honest. We've got the Clunie Hills, we've got the San Vicente Mountains, and we've got the Berwyn Mountains as well. all within the reach of us.
There's some quite nice places, sort of in right inside Wrexham as well, I think, aren't there?
Oh, yeah. We've had a huge influx of people want to do history tours. There's quite a bit of history in Wrexham. I mean, in the 1400s, it was the biggest town in Wales. It got a lot of history, religious history. The Normans came here in the 1100s. The guy who founded Yale University has got a connection here with the Irthing, the big National Trust property we've got here. There's call for history tours of Wrexham all the time.
And you've got a
So
walking festival. When did that start?
it started in 2011. We were originally part of the Walking Your Way to Health schemes. They would run all over the country, funded by the National Lottery. But in 2010, the funding stopped. So we decided we couldn't get any funding anywhere to go on our own and see what we could do. So it's 2011, we decided to do a walking festival because that was the one good thing that if we plugged that, it was one good thing that we could advertise quite well. But you see, in the old days, we used to print booklets every quarter of the walks that we were doing, but that was got too expensive. So we just decided to do one thing once a year and everything else online. So the upshot of that is the walking festival.
All right, makes sense. It must have changed over the years, has it?
Well, yes, it's got better and better. We got better and better printing and better support. You know, we've been trying to get support from local businesses. The council can be quite helpful. The AOMB in Loggerheads near Mould, they funded the festival on a couple of occasions. So we're managing. This year, we're managing to sort of get it printed. You know, we do a lot of fundraisers. Our bank balance is quite healthy. So we're doing okay. We're all run by volunteers. Everything's free. We don't want to charge anyone to come on our walks because we don't put any barriers up. You know, if somebody turns up, they turn up. We don't ask for people to book neither. And that's one of the big things. We have two or three walk leaders in every walk, so people are looked after.
All right. How do you get to the start if it's not right in the middle of it? Do people just kind of carpool or?
Three of the walks in the festival can be accessed by public transport, two of the harder walks and one of the easier walks. We grade the walks, and two of the walks can be accessed by public transport on bus, and we've got one we can access by the train from Wrexham General Station. And the rest, they're quite happy to car share. And the numbers are quite good. We averaged over 20 per walk last year. Some high numbers, some a bit lower, but they're well advertised. There's enough information in the leaflets to tell people where to go. So it's not a barrier, really, the transport element.
And where do you get people attending from? I guess your biggest major urban area will be Liverpool.
We do get people from Liverpool. I remember a couple of years ago, we had the Black Ladies Walking Group of Liverpool turned up at one of the walks. They'd found it. And we got people from Liverpool, Manchester, and Birmingham, and occasionally people from Paris, Wales, London, especially if they got ties with the community up here. So we've had people from all over. Manchester is a good area because there's a lot of walking clubs there. So we got a few people from that area as well.
I hate to mention all of the publicity around Wrexham FC Football Club, but has that made any positive difference?
Not really. We would have hoped it would have. We haven't had people coming over specifically to do the walking festival, which we like. We try to get some information out there so that people can access it and the tourist information offices. We've got two main ones, the one in Wrexham Centre and the one in Llangollen. And all our literature is bilingual as well. We do a Welsh brochure and an English brochure.
What's happening in the 2025 version? What kind of interesting things have you got going?
Each year we do different walks, especially the long walks. We're over 9 days, and that's how we do nine harder walks during the day and one evening walk as well. And they can range from 13.2 miles, the longest. The highest, I think, is 728 meters. We've got a few long distance paths across our area. We've got the North Burren Way, which we're doing a walk on. We've got the Dee Valley Way. We've got obviously Offaly Dyke runs through our area. We've got Watts Dyke, which has superseded Offaly Dyke by about 100 years. It runs from below Oswestry to Basingwick Abbey on the banks of the Dee near Holywell. And we've got the Clwydyan Way, and we've got the Ceiriog Trail as well. So we've got a few long-distance paths that are on our area. We use them quite a bit.
Do you have like themes as well?
We've got one theme walk. It's in Wrexham Centre where the Wrexham Cemetery is quite interesting, so there's a walk around there. Last year, we did a history walk in Wrexham, but just generally, they're not themed walks. But we've got a few people who are I mean, Hazel, our secretary, she'll be doing a walk in Overton, and she's very big into plants history, so she'll be telling everyone as they're going along the plants that are in the area. We're all quite genned up on the history of the area, so we do give information about any historical figures that are in the area. Oh, Glyndŵr is a big name that comes up in our area because he had two properties in our area. So we do mention Owen Glyndŵr quite a bit. It's just about the countryside, basically.
The aqueduct that's just outside of Wrexham, that's always popular. Is that in one of the walks?
No, not this year. No. It's funny, last year I did an interview on BBC Radio Wales, and the first thing he said, what about the aqueduct? I said, we're not doing it this year. We have done it in the past, but we like to mix things up all the time. The aqueduct is well known. One of the routes off, like, pass goes over the aqueduct. But the problem we have with the aqueduct is the parking. You have to park about a quarter of a mile away from where it starts. So it's not something that we use a lot. We sometimes use it on one of our bus walks where we can get off at above the aqueduct and walk up the hill and come back into Llangollen. It's not something that we try and feature all the time.
Yes, I suppose if you're doing an annual walking festival, you don't want the same walks every year.
Some of the local walks that we do in the walking festival, some of the monthly walks, it'll be for the same location, but they change the walk. All the harder walks, we call them, are always different every year, so that people can see that we are, you know, not doing the same route.
Well, and I guess you've got so much around there. You mentioned all those different trails and paths, and then you've got, like, quite a lot to choose from.
Oh, yeah, definitely. One of the best places to go to is the Ceiriog Valley. It's so unspoiled. I mean, in the 1920s, the government wanted to dam the valley to make a dam to supply Warrington with water, but David Lloyd George, the ex-Liberal Prime Minister, he said he can't do that because it's a little piece of heaven on earth, the Ceiriog Valley, and it's very unspoiled. Not many people get down there. It's a fantastic area for walking.
I actually did a walk fairly close to Wrexham last year at a place called World's End.
World's End is above Llangollen. The Ceiriog Valley is the next valley to Llangollen. That's on Offa's Dyke Path.
Do you allow kids and dogs on the walks?
No dogs. Basically, it's to do with our insurance, because in the very early days, we had a number of problems with people bringing a dog along, and we had a problem with cattle. So we say no dogs, because basically the safety of the walkers is our main concern. You know, we try to limit any problems. Our insurance wouldn't be very happy if we say no dogs and people turn up with dogs. We just say you can't come. I'll give you an anecdote about dogs. We did a walk a few weeks back on the Llandyssili Mountains. We had 33 out, and we met a couple on the top. Then the first thing they said to me, you got no dogs? I said, no, we don't have dogs. He said, well, dogs have ruined their walking club. They said, well, come on your walking festival then. But that's how they feel about it.
Yeah, well, and if it's only for a day or two or for a walk or two, you can leave the dog at home.
Well, that's it, you see. A lot of people that come on the walks, they have got dogs, but they don't bring them.
And you mentioned that the walks are free and that you don't have to book. What are the dates for the festival, and how can people find out?
Well, we start on the 7th of June and we run for 9 days. So we've got 2 weekends, you see, so that we can get people who are working. So we got 2 weekends for people to look at. We do get very good numbers in the week. But that's never a problem. But yeah, they can find out where we are. Just go to walksinwrexham.com and they'll see all the details there of the walking festival, both in English and Welsh.
What are some of your favourite walks in that area?
Well, the Dee Valley up to Malverma and the Vibod Mountain. And also, I like to go on when we get through the rail walk, we go from Chirk, go through the ground of Chirk Castle, down the Ceiriog Valley, then up over the top and return to Llangollen. That way, that's a good stiff walk. That's a favourite of mine. I like to go use the public transport because then, you know, it's good to have a social afterwards. We have a couple of pints of beer in the pub in Llangollen and come back by bus. And that's one of my favourites. It's a stunning scenery. Our tagline is, come and enjoy the beauty and scenery and the history of North East Wales. And that's basically what it says.
And I imagine that for people that are from out of town, if they're going to stay, there's lots of options of places to stay around there.
There are expensive hotels. One of the really expensive hotels is which is the Carlton Park, where all the Hollywood owners stay when they come. It's just over the border in Cheshire. They've got a discount code offer for anyone who comes to the walking festival. All the hotels got our brochures. And we've got a couple of Premier Inns and a Travelodge in Wrexham. There's also a lot of accommodation in Llangollen, and there's a fantastic pub in the bottom of the Ceiriog Valley called the Hand Inn. Wonderful food and accommodation there, and a lot of people do stay there for walking holidays. So there's a fair bit to do in the Wrexham area and Llangollen for as far as the accommodation concerned. Hopefully, as the message gets out, it becomes busier and busier, but more people will come up and stay.
I imagine you get people that come year after year, do you?
Well, we got quite a few people who do come year after year, yes, especially for the longer walks. It put it like enjoyable. We go out every week and sort of make sure that everything is as it should be. The local rights of way people in Wrexham and the ANB update. If we send a message through that the stile is broken, whatever like that, it gets action pretty quickly. So they support us in that way as well. We're just looking forward to it. I hope the weather stays fine. And I say we had 650 came last year. So we're hoping that the figures will stack up as they did in previous years.
I was in Wrexham last year. There was an event in London that I went to, and then it was the outdoor show in Liverpool 2 days later. So rather than drive home and then back to Liverpool, I went for a couple of hikes, and one of them was just outside Wrexham at a place called World's End, which I mentioned in the interview there. What a beautiful walk that was. I saw two people the entire day, and I was pretty impressed with Wrexham as well. I saw zero graffiti while I was there. I'm sure there is some, but I didn't see any. Some cities that I've been to, you wonder if you stand still for 10 seconds if you're going to end up sprayed with paint. Anyway, let's head towards Liverpool, but take a left to the Wirral Peninsula. Their walking festival is a bit longer than Wrexham's, and it's already underway. To tell us about it is Fiona Hannick, Health Development Officer, Neighbourhood Services at Wirral Council.
So for those that don't really know much about the area itself, could you give us a bit of a location of the Wirral and what it's like for walks around there?
Yes. So when we speak to people, we say we're between Liverpool and Chester, and we're a peninsula, so we're in the northwest of England, and we are a peninsula, so we're surrounded by three sides of water, but we've got some amazing spaces, blue and green spaces across Wirral. Lots and lots of parks. So we have Birkenhead Park, which was actually designed by Joseph Paxton in 1847, and then New York's Central Park was then modelled on Birkenhead Park. We've got the Wirral Way, which is an old railway line, which is 12 miles and it's traffic free. So you can walk, you can cycle, you can run up and down there. We've just got lots of little parks dotted around. We are just really lucky with what's on our doorstep.
Do you think that for a lot of people, when they hear the Wirral, that they instantly think that it's urban because of Liverpool?
Yes, they tend to. But as I say, we've got great promenades overlooking Liverpool. We've got parks off those proms. We've got the dips at New Brighton and things. So we've got plenty of green space. Yes, there is that sort of urban side with Liverpool being our neighbours, but it's great that we've got so many green spaces.
And it didn't take you that long or that far to get out into Cheshire and North Wales, and there's lots of places nearby.
Absolutely. We've got a smallish motorway that runs down the middle of the peninsula. So within sort of 10-15 minutes, you can be in Liverpool, 20 minutes, half an hour, you can be in Chester, Cheshire, then you've got North Wales. So an hour and a half, you're up to the Lake District. So position-wise, we are so lucky.
Yeah, I suppose the Peak District wouldn't be that far either, would it really?
No, it's not. No, not at all. Just a couple of hours.
Could you tell me a bit about the Walking Festival and its history?
Yeah, so the Walking Festival runs every May. It's been going approximately 8 years now. To begin with, my husband, Joe, who is the senior ranger for the council, he organised it. And then after a while, he used to say to me, you may as well organise it because it's all your events or a lot of your events in there. So it was sort of shifted over to me, which is absolutely fine. So we just reach out to lots of local groups and ask them if they'd like to put on a special walk or what their normal walks are in May, and we'll feature it in our walking festival brochure. So each year we produce the brochure. This year we've been very kindly sponsored by the Cool World team. So Lucy and her team gave us some funding so we could get the brochures printed, and also Home Instead Wirral, which is a local care company. And again, they've supported us the last couple of years. And it just means that we can do a printed version and the online version, because we know not everybody has access to digital. So we want to make sure all the walks are accessible to everybody and we can get it out as far as we need to get people joining us.
Where do you get people coming from for the festival?
Oh, all over. Lots of Wirral residents. And it's funny because, for example, we've got Hilbury Island just off the coastline of West Kirby. So as you look at the peninsula, the top left corner is West Kirby. And if you walk over to that, it's about a 2 mile walk, but it's tidal. So lots and lots of people say, I've lived here all my life, but I've never walked over because I'm scared of the tides. So when we arrange the walking festival and the rangers, the Wirral Country Park rangers, make sure that they put on walks or the Friends of Hilbury. And then it gives people the confidence to go over and join in with those walks, which is nice because they go over the first time, see what it's all about. And then they'll say, right, OK, yeah, I've got the confidence now to keep going. There's plenty of information to say the safe crossing route, because you have to go on a certain route. You go to Little Eye first, around the back of Little Eye, across to Middle Eye, and then on to Hilbury Island. If you were to go direct from the beach at West Kirby, then there's sinking sand. So we make sure that everything is clearly marked, the safe route. We sort of let people know 3 hours before high tide. But yeah. It's just making people aware, and it's good because people learn, and it just means that they can go back again then in their own time once they've done it as a guided walk. So people come from all over the Northwest to take part in the walks, which is lovely.
Well, it is good. Is the island one of the walks for 2025?
Yes, and it's the one that probably fills up first. This year we've got lots of historic walks by local historians around the Oxton area. We've got, this year for the first time, we've got silent discos, a couple of silent discos where people will get given the headphones. They can decide what they want to listen to, and then we're going to take them off on one of our routes. Oh, we've got a couple of routes, and then they will go and enjoy a walk, but listening to some music. So that'll be interesting because those walks are filled up quite quickly as well. And then we've got sort of wildlife walks with the rangers at Wirral Country Park and Birkenhead Park, educational walks. We've got the secret gardens of Oxton, the secret gardens of Caldy, where people open their gardens up and you can walk around and have a look. So there is something on the walking festival for everybody. We offer Nordic walking as part of the Active Wirral programme. We have Running Wirral, we have Nordic walking, we do wellbeing walks, so people can join them and they carry on throughout the year as well.
So for all ages?
For all ages, yes.
I always ask, but what about dogs? Do you let dogs on the walks?
Every walk's different. So we say to the organisers, if you want dogs to come on your walk, we'll put on in the brochure, dogs are welcome. Other walks, for example, our wellbeing walks, we just allow service dogs. But as I say, each group's different and we just let them. They just provide us with the information for their walk. Some of the walks, there's a nominal charge. Other walks are free. And again, it's just depending on that group that's organised that walk. We try and make them accessible to everybody, so they're open to all.
Do you change them up every year?
Yes. Oh, yes. It's nice when you get every year when I'm sort of coordinating it and I'm collating all the information, the walks start coming in to see what the new walks are going to be. So, for example, the rangers at Wirral Country Park, Thurstison, they've done a nocturnal walk this year with supper. So people go out in the evenings with the ranger. They'll have a ranger-led walk around the park where they'll be told all about the wildlife on offer, and then they'll have some supper with the Rangers and gives them a chance to have a chat, which sounds really, you know, it's nice. And I say it's different. We've got an art walk as well in Birkenhead Park. So again, there's lots of opportunities for people.
I suppose it must be difficult year after year, because you get ones that are real popular, but then you do want to freshen it up so that people keep coming back and not doing the same old thing.
It is, yes. And you do need to keep that interest. But those that are the popular walks, i.e. the walk over to Hillbury, that's the ones that you think, OK, we'll make sure they keep going. We've got another walk called the Ron Williams Memorial Walk, and he's one of our walk leaders for our wellbeing walks. And he sadly passed away a few years ago. But some of the other walk leaders do run walks locally. And yeah, that's well attended as well. This year, that one's taking place on the 14th, Wednesday, the 14th of May. It's not on the paper brochure, but it is on the online version.
And do people have to book online or book?
Some of the walks, yes. Some of the walks they do, and others it's just a case of turn up. But yeah, each walk's different.
What are some of your favourite walks in the Wirral area?
Well, I do like the Hillbury walks, but I like any walks, to be honest, just getting out in the green space around the different parks. I'm in Birkenhead Park every week with the running groups. We've got walking groups in Royden Park. We are just so lucky. You're not far at all from a local walk, so you can get out and enjoy the Wirral.
Has the weather been kind to you in the past?
Yes, we have been quite lucky. I think last year just one of the walks was called off because we had thunder and lightning forecast, but we tend to be whatever the weather, they tend to run. So yeah, and at the moment the weather's absolutely glorious here, so let's hope it stays like that.
Yeah, you can never tell, it can change every 20 minutes.
I know.
I assume that given the location, it's easy for people that aren't from the area to find accommodation if they need to.
Yeah, there's plenty of accommodation on Wirral. We've got some great public transport routes. We've got trains. Obviously, they've got the bus service. And when we do plan the walks, we do try and sort of include that information in the booklet so people know the best place to park or how to get to somewhere. But yeah, there's always accommodation around Wirral. And even if people can't get on Wirral, they could maybe, you know, stay in Liverpool and pop across to Wirral. You can either get the ferry across the Mersey or drive through the tunnel. So we're not that far. Or as I say, there's also Chester as well on our doorstep.
Do you get people coming from major long distances for the festival?
We have done in the past, yeah. We've had people who have been visiting relatives and have heard about it and joined. The walks are well attended.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, and I suppose you don't have to go to every single event either. You can just pick and choose.
Absolutely, pick and choose, yes. It's nice because there's sort of different times of the day in the evenings. So, you know, there's some at weekends. So if you are working and you can't get to the daytime ones, there are options there for evenings and weekends as well. So hopefully we've got everybody catered for. We've got some great coffee shops as well attached to some of our walks sort of thing. So it might start or finish at a nice coffee shop. So we've got the Whistle Stop Cafe in Thurstis, and we've got Flissy's. And they're just sort of there. So as the walk finishes, you know, you can get some refreshments, as toilets and things. So we try and make sure that we think about these things as well when we're planning the walks. If anybody wants to have a look at the online brochure, they can go to www.visitwirral.com and look for the Walking Festival online brochure there. But otherwise, we've got the brochures in coffee shops, libraries, leisure centres, parks. We've got them lots of places across Wirral.
What are the dates for it?
So it's started. So the first walk was the 3rd of May, and the last, we've got two walks on the 31st of May. They're our last walks.
You think you know a place and then you find out that you really don't. I never knew that there were islands that you could walk to off the Wirral Peninsula. I know that isn't unique. There's one near Edinburgh and there's one in Northumberland and many more, but still always good to learn new things. Because the interviews were a little bit shorter this week, it does give me an opportunity to revisit something I started on the first podcast, which is walking pet peeves. I have plenty, so I will bring one out from time to time. The first one was ranting a little bit about vehicles blocking others so that they can park next to the trailhead. I have other vehicle ones, but I thought this time I'd talk a little bit about trail etiquette, or path etiquette, I guess. I must say in advance that most walkers are definitely courteous, and others don't really know, so I guess it's a case of education. Of course, the first one is that bikes are supposed to give way to pedestrians, and they don't always. Some think that because they're going faster that walkers should just jump out of their way, even when it's not convenient to. Or they will cycle right up behind walkers and then furiously ring their bell. On some paths, definitely it's easy to move over, but on others not so much. There's one paved path near here that used to be a rail track and is now for walkers, bikes and horses. And while you rarely see a horse, there are loads of bikes. Some of them stay over to the side, but others think that they own the path. I've even seen a group of cyclists riding four abreast down there and expecting walkers to actually just get off the path. Again, most cyclists are courteous, and most of them say thank you. In the good old days, I used to be both a walker and a cyclist, so I do get it from both sides. But it does annoy me when they're either rude or they think that they have the right of way. When it comes to walkers, I've also had my fair share of people who think that because they are on a narrow path, that for some reason they have the right of way and they expect you to get off the path because they are somehow more important than you are. The same applies to people getting right behind you. I had one man in Spain on a very narrow path. He was running and he got right behind me and kept shouting for me to move over, and there was no place to move over. So I didn't, and he kept shouting, and I kept ignoring him. But funnily enough, karma got him almost immediately, as once he did have room to pass, he ran by me really close, and then turned to make a gesture and shout again. Of course, when he did that, he wasn't looking where he was going, and he tripped on a rock and went face first into a tree. The other etiquette one is not as well known, and that's the uphill-downhill thing. In general, uphill has the right of way. It's because it's tougher walking uphill, and also your field of vision is lower, as you're generally looking down. Whereas if you're going downhill, you can see far more. Granted, you might be going really fast, but it's still uphill's right of way. Unless, of course, you are going uphill and you're absolutely shattered, and you want to use it as an opportunity to rest and say, "Is it much further to the top?" and have a little conversation to get your breath back. But again, I've seen plenty of examples of people going downhill and not moving over when they're supposed to. Okay, I'm done. So that's it for this week's podcast. We have a good one for you next week as well. I have one interview already done and two scheduled or scheduled. Having lived in the UK and in Canada and the US, they say scheduled, and in the UK it's scheduled, and quite often I forget which one's which. Anyway, I won't tempt fate by saying what the subject matter is, because then it will get cancelled. No bank holiday this weekend, unfortunately, but if you're in North America, it is Mother's Day. And this week, the podcast, as I mentioned, is going out on May the 9th, which is the birthday of J.M. Barrie, who wrote Peter Pan. And it's also Billy Joel's birthday. And in the US, it's Butterscotch Brownie Day. It's also Guernsey Liberation Day. And if you want a strange one, it's also Alphabet Magnet Day today. None of those in this house. Okay, we'll be back next week. I hope you enjoyed this week's WalkingPost.com podcast. And I hope that you have a great week, hopefully with a walk somewhere, or maybe at least just a bus ride. Anything to get out of the house for a while. Until next time, happy trails! Walking Post from WalkingPost.com is an Air Coastal Media Limited production.